I left here 30 years ago and I went to Jacksonville, they had one of these contraptions. And one day, I had it on and I suddenly had to sneeze. And I didn't have time to cover up the microphone. And that was one day that none of the people in the congregation had an occasion to sleep, because I woke them up. And they remembered that the whole day. But I'm glad this evening that I have this opportunity to be with you, my wife and I. And as I said, it's been 30 years. But we've thought about you many times through the years. And it's one thing about preaching the gospel. You meet people. You may move on, but you remember the places you've been, the people you've been with. And certainly, this has been so with the case here at 65th Street. When Brother Rumker sent me a list of titles to sermons to preach, I got the choice of picking out three that I wanted to preach because I was the first one to reply. And thus, the lessons that I'm preaching today are those that I chose. And some of them are ones that I've never preached before, but nevertheless, they are good thoughts, and they give me some occasion to think about some things and make some considerations. So this evening, as we study together on the subject of what the Bible teaches about bearing on one another's burdens, I think it's good for us first to read in Galatians chapter 6 and read with you in the first five verses. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And so we're going to ask the question, do you have a responsibility to assist one another? And we'll talk about that as we go along. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatian brethren, said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But if anyone thinks himself to be something, but let each man examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own burdens." And so the question is, do we have that responsibility? Sometimes brethren seem to think that Christianity was made for them and for them alone. But reading such passages as this and singing the songs that we just sang before the sermon, certainly we are taught that we have a responsibility to one another. That's what the text teaches. And so as we turn there, we'll learn those things. And as we notice now, Paul says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." If there's no other scripture, that would be sufficient to tell us that we have a responsibility to help each other as the occasion arises. But sometimes you say, "Well, but Tommy, look at verse 5. Verse 5 seems to contradict verse 2, because verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. But verse 5 says, each man shall bear his own load or his own burden." Is there a contradiction? Does the Bible contradict what it has to say? Well, let's think about it. What's the difference between what the writer is saying in verse 2 about bearing one another's burdens and verse 5 when he said each shall bear his own burden? Well, let's think first of all what a burden is. A burden is not necessarily a load that we can see with our eyes, but it's a weight of responsibility that one has been given to bear. And we'll talk about that as we go along. It's more, Paul is dealing more with responsibilities to each other more than he's talking about physical burdens, even though sometimes it would be good for people to help others bear a physical burden. See, sometimes burdens are physical in nature. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, our 20th chapter, in verse 12, we find an example of that. That people are loaded down with some burden. The burden, Matthew 20, talking about that, the man that had hired the people in the vineyard. And at the end of the day, when he's making the pay, some were complaining that they weren't getting paid as much. He said, "We've borne the burden of the day." Well, they had borne the responsibility of working. They'd worked many hours, and so they seemed to feel that they were not being rewarded as well as others, but that's for another lesson, as we see, describing what Jesus was really teaching there. But the point is that physical burdens that people have to bear are not necessarily something that we have to pick up and carry like a load of fertilizer or something of that nature. It can be some debilitating disease that someone has to suffer with. It may be some chronic illness that someone is afflicted with. Sometimes it may be sorrow that one has to face because of the loss of some loved one or some great happening in the family. It may be some tragedy that's occurred. Someone near to you has died, and these people are suffering. They're bearing the burden of sorrow. They're bearing the burden of a tragedy. And there are times when we need to step in and help them in that. They say, I don't need any help. But in reality, most people do, if you just do it. Sometimes people will refuse because they say, "I'm too proud to ask someone to help me." But a person with an alert mind goes ahead and helps anyway, because they really know that the person is just simply trying to say, "I don't want to be a burden to you." But sometimes, when you do it, you help them, they appreciate the fact that you have stepped in, even though they had said, "No, I don't need any help." Paul talks about bearing one another's burden, and I think this will be included in that. Sometimes burdens are spiritual in nature. Galatians 6:2, you go back to verse 1, that you see that a man was suffering from a spiritual problem. He had committed a trespass. And Paul is telling other Christians that they have a responsibility to step in and help this brother or this sister because they have committed some trespass against God. And they need help in overcoming it. But as you help others, Paul says, you look to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Sometimes people have religious burdens to bear. In Acts 15, verse 28, you can read there about the fact that people were loaded down with the burdens of responsibility in spiritual affairs, in religious affairs. Peter referred to one, for example, in Acts 15, about a yoke that they had to bear in trying to keep the commandments of God, and they had failed because no one could keep the law perfectly. And as Peter was pointing out, he said that you try to put a yoke on people as they were trying to, the Judaizing teachers were trying to carry the Gentiles back under the Jewish law. And Peter said, "You're trying to put a yoke upon them which we have never been able to bear alone." And so burdens sometimes are these loads of responsibility that people are carrying, but they need help. Whether it be physical, spiritual or religious, sometimes we need to step in and help them in that. Now, let's look at verse 5 for a minute. There's a difference when Paul said in verse 5 that each one shall bear his own burden. Because as you look at the two words translated into King James as burdens, and in New King James one translated as load, in verse 2 he says, "Bear one another's burdens." The word is boros. It's a Greek term that means something that's heavy, something that's burdensome, something that's people find many times impossible to carry alone. Some toil that they're doing. Some great work that they're having to try to get accomplished. And sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's spiritual. Sometimes it's religious. But nevertheless, it's a responsibility that someone's trying to fulfill, but they're finding it difficult to do it by themselves. They need someone to step in. And that's what Christians are to do. Now in verse 5, the word there is another Greek word, which is phroteion, which means it's like a soldier's pack. And a person in the military, they were given a pack. It had certain essentials. And they had to carry it for themselves. They couldn't give it to somebody else to carry for them. It was their responsibility and theirs alone. And they couldn't palm it off and say, "You carry it for me." Especially when you were a recruit. And first in the military, you couldn't give it to somebody else. Each person had to carry his own pack. Well, think about it. We have personal responsibility sometimes that no one else can do for us. There are some things in life that regardless of how much we would like someone to step in and help us, we can't allow them to do it because it's our responsibility. It's been assigned to us. There are some things, some responsibilities that no one else can do for you. Obeying the gospel, for example. Even though I would like many times to be able to obey the gospel for people that I've taught that need to respond, but they haven't yet done so. I'd like to obey the gospel for them, but I can't do it. They have a responsibility to make their own choice. They have to make the decision. And we can try to encourage them in it, but in the final outcome, it's their decision. In worshiping God, as we talked this morning, it's our individual responsibility. No one else can worship God in your place. You can't send somebody to represent you. Each person is going to answer to God for how he or she has rendered worship to God. It's a burden. Yes. It's a responsibility. Yes. But I said this morning it ought to also be seen as a privilege that we have in doing those things which God wants us to do. Because one day, when we stand before God in the judgment, these are responsibilities that each person will answer for himself. Every person shall give an account of his own deeds, whether they be good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 5. Or Romans 14 and verse number 12. And so, you see, there's a difference between bearing one another's burdens in verse 2 and bearing your own burdens as in verse number 5. You see, when you look at the invitation that Jesus offered in Matthew 11, He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your soul, for my burden is easy and my yoke is light." You see, He's assigned you a burden. It's your responsibility, but He'll help you as you pick up your burden and carry it. Because it's your responsibility to do these things. Now, sometimes these burdens get beyond the bounds of human ability and effort. And so Psalms 55 says, we are to cast our burden upon the Lord. Well, in all of these things we've been talking about, we have the Lord to help us. He helps us when no one else can. But we have a responsibility, which getting back to the main part of the lesson, of bearing one another's burdens, as in verse number 2. You see, being concerned about each other as members of the body of Christ is a universal principle that's taught over and over and over again in the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 15. This tonight I'm going to read some of these scriptures. In Romans chapter 15, we see here that here is a responsibility that we have to help other people. As he says there in Romans 15, "You that are strong are to help to bear the infirmities of the weak. He doesn't say bear them for them. But notice what he says there now. He says, we that are strong are to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And we're in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and verse number 4. Again, the emphasis is being on the responsibility of helping others in their lives. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better, or let each esteem better than his own interest, but let him also look for the interest of others. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, again the emphasis is on the principle that we are to help each other, whether it be physically or spiritually. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning in verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, and see that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourself and for all. Would anybody read those verses and get the idea? I don't have a responsibility to help my brother. Look over in James, the second chapter. We often quote this chapter to show people that they have to have more than faith. Well, think about it as individuals. We have a responsibility to one another. In James chapter 2, verse number 14, said, what does it profit my brother if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, see, he's having a burden here, destitute of food or clothing, and anyone you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Does that sound like you don't have a responsibility? If you see someone else struggling, James is writing and saying, oh, go your way. Hey, I'm sure sorry that you have such a burden to bear, but don't ask me to help you. James says that doesn't profit you anything. You ever notice how many times the expression one another is used in the Word of God in relationship to Christians? You see, when I prepared this lesson, I sat down and went through the Scriptures, and I left some copies in the back there, but here's a page full of Scriptures that talk about a relationship in the body of Christ to one another. And then as I prepared this 18 times here, and I meant to change this because I went back and done some more study, and actually there are 27 passages, at least I found 27, there may be more, that are positive statements of this is what you have to do for one another. That he, as he says there, that you to love one another, be kindly affectionate to one another, prefer one another, edify one another, be like-minded to one another, admonish one another, bear one another's burdens, serve one another, submit to one another, forgive one another, abound in love toward one another, comfort one another, confess faults to one another, use hospitality to one another, fellowship with one another, pray for one another, consider one another, have the same care one for another, speaking to one another, comfort and or to agree with one another, in other words, eat with one another. Now, all these passages that I've just mentioned, I haven't given you all the Scriptures themselves, but they're on this paper. There are some, you have to study them out to understand exactly what he's talking about, but they are expressions of positive things that Christians are to do for fellow Christians. Now, Those are positive, 27 of them. Then you're on the negative side, you have 7. See, I didn't change my overhead. You have at least 7 that you don't. These are negatives now. These are things you don't do. Don't provoke one another. Don't speak evil of one another. Don't wrong one another. Don't judge one another. Don't bite and devour one another. Don't grumble against one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't provoke one another. You see, just looking at those scriptures tell us that Christians have a responsibility to each other. They're members of the body of Christ. See, Christianity is a we religion. It's not an individual religion. It's not a me. What's in it for me? But it's what's in it for us. Because we are all part of the body of Christ. We must be concerned about how we are to help bear one another's burdens. Back over Galatians 5. And verse number 26, he said, "Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." You see, we must be concerned about each other. You know, sometimes people want to make our lives individual. I'm going to do it for myself. I don't get concerned about what other people need or do. But Christianity is a we religion. And as we look at the idea of the body of Christ, we know that. Back over to the book of Romans chapter 12. Notice what Paul writes there, that the body is one. Yet we know that it's composed of many members. Listen to him. For I say that though the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has given to each one a measure of faith. Now listen. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. You see, the church is a body of people composed of various types, various environments, various people from varying circumstances. And yet they are called a body. They are brought together and they have responsibilities to one another. Now, as he says, it's a singular body. The church is one. The Lord only established and built one church. The one that's His. The one of which He is the head. The one He's going to say. But the church is composed of many different members, individually working, but working together. Working as a unit. Working to help each other rather than just by themselves. Look at Ephesians 4. And verse number 16, Paul tells the brethren there in that 16th verse of the 4th chapter. Now, he has enumerated several things that God has assigned different things, different people to do different works in the body. But yet, regardless of the fact they all have different responsibilities, they're all part of the same body. And so he says in verse number 16 of the 4th chapter of the book of Ephesians, that he says that they from whom the whole body joined and knit together in all things, or knit together by what each joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. How is that done? By the members giving consideration to one another, helping each other to bear burdens, to make it through life. See, individualism is not a virtue in the church. It may be a virtue in everyday life, but it's not in the church. It's a we responsibility. You see, while each member is individually responsible for his own work, it does not function without giving consideration to the rest of the body. See, Paul makes that clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is where we'll spend part of our time. Here, Paul is now breaking down the idea of the church being one body, but it's made up of many members. I don't have time to read all these verses, but verses 12 through 26 of the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians gives us several thoughts about the fact that the body, even though it is one and its members are individuals, they all have to give consideration to each other in doing the things that they do. There are at least three things I want to emphasize in this lesson that the body is responsible for as the members work together. For example, the members are dependent on one another. Notice verses 15 and 16. Paul says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the foot, ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, every member of the body has a responsibility, but they are dependent upon one another. The eye is dependent upon the hearing of the ear. The hand is dependent upon the moving of the foot. They don't function separately and independently without considering the body. But all members of the church are needed. All members of the body are needed. Sometimes we can do without one or two. We don't want to. Sometimes, though, because it's a necessity to have to cut some member off because of some tragedy, as one member at Aetna just had to have a toe cut off because if it wasn't removed, then it was going to affect the rest of the body. It was like leaven. You remove the leaven, or if you're not, because it's going to spoil the rest of the body. Well, Paul is pointing out about the body that every member of the body is needed. You can't say, well, I don't need you. Some member may have a big problem, and, well, I don't want to be bothered with that. I don't need that. We don't need that person. If that person needs some help, and we're not going to give it to him, and he maybe is faltering and falling, and maybe he's drifting away, and we say, we didn't need him anyway. When I hear members say that, I know they don't really understand what the idea of a body is. Listen to verses 21 and 22 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And these members of the body which we think to be least honorable are those we bestow greater honor on. Our presentable parts have greater modesty. So you see, we all need to be concerned about one. Look at verses 25 and 26. As it says, and there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if all the members rejoice, then all the other members rejoice with it. If you hit your finger with a hammer, that finger hurts. But the rest of the body is concerned about it. In the same way, if something good happens and a member is healed that's been sick, the rest of the body is happy too. And that's in the physical body, but it's also in the spiritual body. See, all members are necessary. We should never say, well, we don't need you. Sometimes it's a necessity to remove something because of some thing that they've done that is bringing harm to the body of Christ. But many times, with a little help and encouragement from others, helping them bear burdens, we might be able to save that member and bring it back. But a third thing is that members work in harmony with one another. See, Paul said in verse 25 and 26, there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division. The members should all be considered to one another. When they decide to do something, when a member decides to do something, how is this going to affect the rest of the body? If I do this, I have a right to do it. But how's it going to affect the other members if I do it? Well, I have a weak member over here that has a problem. And his conscience won't allow him to do certain things. And if he sees other people doing things that would offend his conscience, then he has a problem. And so they need to work together to solve it. Sometimes, by reasoning and by teaching, that person can be taught. Sometimes, it may be, he may be right, and the other person who said, I'm going to do what I want to do regardless, may be in the wrong. But you see, before you do anything, take consideration of the rest of the members of the body. And when you do them, try to make sure that it keeps the body in a harmonious working relationship. You see, in Galatians 5, verses 13 and 6 through 16, Paul was pointing out to the Galatian people that if they didn't work in harmony, there's going to be schism. And so listen to what he describes here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and through 16. It's a pathetic thing. But a great number of churches that I have seen divided over the years have divided because the members that left or caused the division did not consider the rest of the body because they were going to have their way regardless. But as Paul says here in verse number 13 beginning, he said, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another. Then in Ephesians chapter 4, and verse number 3, Paul says, Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do everything possible to keep the body at peace with itself. When I say possible, make sure that it's Scripture. But always make sure that you're not looking out for your own interest and forgetting about those of others. So what do we do when a member suffers? When a member is burdened down with some great care, responsibility, some sickness, some chronic illness, some tragedy, some sorrow. What are we to do? Well, we are to try to help wherever we can. We may not be able to say, when I say I know how you feel, we may not know how they feel because we haven't gone through the same situation, but at least we can show that we care about them. But it may be that somebody that is suffering from debilitating sickness with a little help can attend church services when otherwise they couldn't, if someone would take the time to help them. Maybe someone is wanting to come that has no transportation, and someone offers to help them to make sure they have a way to get there. That's bearing their burdens, helping them in their burdens. You're helping that person. And one of the first places I ever preached, I stopped and picked up a lady and her children, and brought them to church services every week as I went by their house to go to the building. And that lady and some of her children obeyed the gospel. She didn't have any transportation. She lived 8 or 10 miles away from the church building. But if I hadn't taken the time to lend her a hand, maybe she would have lost her soul. You see, we need to look at other people and see what we can do to help them. They may not ask for it, but they appreciate it when you do it for them. You see, sometimes when they have a disease or a burden to bear, it's heavy. It's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes a person may have a person that's chronically ill and not able to get out of bed, or it may not be able to leave the house. And you say, well, let me go over and sit with that person, give this other person an opportunity to get out for a little while. Don't you think that really means a lot to that person? Sometimes people, though, I've seen this happen. Someone is physically ill, they're in bed, they can't get out. It may be a lady that's got 3 or 4 children. She's not able to get out of bed and cook. Not able to wash the clothes. Some members come by and give her a visit. Say, sister, whatever we can do to help you, let us know. Here's the dishes piled, the sink piled up with dishes. Here's the clothes being piled up on the floor because they have nobody to wash them. And when they leave, the dishes are still unwashed, the clothes are still unwashed, and also the clothes. And yet those people say, well, I did my job. I went by to visit. Do you really think that's giving help to a person that really needs it? Do what you need to do. Sometimes they're pretty, oh, don't bother with the dishes. I'll do them when I get better. Go ahead and do them anyway. Lend a hand. Because that's what Christians do. But see, Christians don't want to make other people feel obligated to them. And yet, these scriptures tell us we have a responsibility to help. And sometimes we do it even when they say, I don't need it. They really need it, but they don't want to admit it. So you need to look and see what you can do to help. You see, sometimes we help those people bear a burden they can't do it alone. It may be physical, as I said earlier in the lesson. It may be spiritual. But whatever it is, look around and see what you can do to help them bear it. You see, as I pointed earlier, verse 1 gives us an example. A person caught up in sin. We don't just ignore that, do we? Oh, well, they made their own bed, let them lie in it. I've heard that expression of you. What's the responsibility of a Christian? Well, Paul said, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Look into yourself, lest you also be tempted. He didn't say ignore it. He didn't say, well, that person made his bed, let him lie in it. He says, fellow Christians, if you're spiritually minded, you help that person if you can to take care of that burden. See, sometimes the shame and the guilt is so heavy that they just really need someone to counsel them. Someone to take the time to talk with them. And that's what Christians do. They don't just ignore it and forget about it and say, well, I have no responsibility in it. The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. You see, there are some brethren, sad to say, that ought never find a reason to help someone. They always find an excuse not to do anything. Now, think about it. People do that sometimes. They find a reason, well, I can't help because I got this to do, I got that to do. When those things could be set aside to do something of greater importance. But you see, they don't want to be burdened themselves, and so they're not going to help anybody else. That's not fulfilling the Scripture, because it's wrong. In 1 John chapter 3, look at verse number 17. John is telling Christians that they have a responsibility not just to talk, but to do. Listen to him. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. James 1:27 tells us that pure religion undefiled is to keep yourself unspotted from the world and to help the fathers and widows in their affliction. That sounds like we have a responsibility. And I already told you about James, the second chapter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Sometimes we need to think about the hospitality being shown. As he says there in verses 9 and 10, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I invited somebody to come eat with me, and they expect me to reciprocate. That's the way some people look at it. Now, that's not the way it ought to be. Because if I invite somebody to my house, or I invite somebody to do something for them, I don't expect them to have to do anything for me. I'm doing it because I'm a child of God. And I love to help those that can't, that need to be helped. But see, Peter says some people grumble about it. He's implying that. But to be hospitable to one another without grumbling, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Then, of course, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us consider one another to provoke them to love and good works. And the word provoke there means to encourage them. In other words, we give consideration to each other. Yes, that we do have a burden. We do have a responsibility to help other people bear their burdens, physically, spiritually, or religiously. But sometimes we judge people unworthy of help. Sometimes we decide that person doesn't need our help. But sometimes we make a judgment that a person doesn't need our help because they don't seem to be wanting to help themselves. But it may be, if you examine the circumstances, they don't know how to help themselves. They need someone to counsel them or help them or do something for them. But sometimes people say, well, they don't deserve my help. But don't say that until you have examined the circumstances as to the reason why they're in the position they're in. See, remember what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 2. That when we bear one another's burden, we're doing what? We're fulfilling the law of Christ. We're showing our love for Him, and we're showing our love for our brethren. How does it help the church? Well, first of all, it helps the person that's in carrying the burden. That's the immediate thing. It helps that person to be relieved of the responsibility by sharing with them whatever it might be. So that's the immediate thing. It makes it easier for them. But also, it gives causes thanksgiving to be made to God and for the things that are done. When the contribution was being raised for the church of Jerusalem, for the brethren of the church of Jerusalem, Paul said the Gentiles, by giving what they did, they resulted in giving thanks to the Lord by the Jewish Christians who recognized that the Gentiles were fellow Christians and were helping them. And they rejoiced that they were all of one body. And so, that's something that helps when we bear one another's burdens. We are causing thanksgiving to be given to God for the fact that we're helping. It causes one who's helping to fulfill the law of Christ. So, when we do this, James tells us we're doing well. Verses 8 through 10, the royal law, to love one another and love your neighbor. We better obey what God says about bearing one another's burdens, because one day God's Word is going to judge us. As I pointed out this morning in John 12, Jesus said, the words that I speak, the same shall judge in the last day. And the words that Jesus speaks are through the whole New Testament as revealed by the Holy Spirit. We're going to be judged by the gospel, according to Romans, the second chapter, and verse number 16. The gospel is that which has been revealed to us. And if we don't follow its instructions, and this is one of them I've been talking about tonight, then we do not fulfill the law of Christ. So, to what extent should we assist one another? This is the close of the lesson. We should help one another to the same extent we would help Christ if we were on earth today. You remember that passage in Matthew 25? You give a cup of cold water. You give someone something to wear that's naked. Or you visit them when they're sick or in prison. And they say, well, when did we do that, Lord? He said, inasmuch as you did it the least of one of these my brethren, you did it unto me. If you saw Jesus struggling with a load, would you stop to help him? Or would you just say, well, you can carry it. You're your own man. Jesus had to have help on the way to Golgotha. A man by the name of Simeon helped him to bear his cross. We have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens. If we do that, we fulfill the law of Christ. The church needs to have more members recognizing their responsibility to each other rather than being so concerned about what's in it for me rather than what's in it for us as a whole. How would it benefit the Lord and the Lord's people? That's what we should be concerned about. Tonight, as we sing the closing song, the invitation song, if you need to obey the gospel, why not do something about it tonight? Why not do what you need to do? If you need to come back to the Lord, ask for forgiveness for something you've done that's going to reflect upon him and his church, then do that this evening while you have the opportunity. Brethren are here to help you. They'll help you to bear your burden. But most of all, Jesus said, put your burden upon me, and I'll help you here. Tonight, if you need to obey, if you